be here and to preach. And I know we're having you guys are having a farewell for Brother David after the services tonight. And I heard tonight was his last Sunday with you. I count it even more of a privilege. And Brother David, I'm just going to say that I will certainly miss you being here. We've spent a lot of time together. Every time I get in town, we always we'll always find a place to eat for breakfast and drink lots of coffee and talk for hours, and always enjoy that. We share a passion for books, and always enjoy knowing what other folks are reading and picking people's brains about all kinds of things. And brother, it's been a great joy. May the Lord bless you. I want to focus everyone's attention tonight to the book of Acts. This is not a farewell message by any stretch, but it is a message about transition. And the church in Acts, of course, is going to go through a transition in all kinds of ways. Of course, Acts chapter 2 is a tremendous transition as the church that the Lord Jesus Christ had started was empowered on the day of Pentecost. And of course, immediately, of course, their ministry, where they were empowered to preach and share the gospel. And of course, that's what was promised them by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they began to preach, immediately the struggles and difficulties came in and the persecutions. And what we're going to talk about tonight in Acts chapter 4 is not about the persecutions, but about the reaction to it. And this reaction, of course, is to pray. And when anything happens in a ministry, what we should do is pray. And prayer seems to be and ought to be, and we see it in the scriptures, it is the reaction that the believers ought to have, whether it be a tragedy, whether it be a persecution, whether it be a triumph. Even as a ministry goes through a transition, and certainly your ministry will be going through a transition, and Brother David, your life is going to be going through a transition, and Brother Jeff, your life is going to be going in a transition. What do we do? We should pray. Would you look here, and this is Acts chapter 4, and I'm going to read, I'm going to start in verse number 23. I'm going to read down through verse number 30. Would you stand, please, as I read God's word tonight? Hear it. This is, of course, the prayer is a result of this persecution they had received. And I'm not saying that the only time you should pray is when you're being persecuted. That certainly isn't the case. But I do want to say that anytime something is going on in your life, anytime something is going on in the ministry, anytime something happens, prayer ought to be the first thing on the list. And being let go, they went, this is verse number 23, they went to their own. I'll tell you, that'll make you starting to feel a little bit older and transition in her life. And it's such a blessing that when transitions come, that God can provide for us what we need in order to navigate the difficult times, in order to see His hand and understand that He has a will and a desire to fulfill great things in our lives. Transitions can be very difficult, and they can be dangerous. Certainly, as many of you realize, you know, as you're driving and you get to an area. Now, all this GPS stuff we have nowadays, I just love it. And I always keep my phone in the car, and they kind of help you weave your way through all the difficult transitions and highways and things like that. But I tell you, sometimes, I remember the first time that we drove out here through St. Louis to get here. I remember it so well. And coming over the bridge out of, Illinois and coming into St. Louis and trying to, because this is BC, this is before computers, and so we didn't have our cell phones, and you know, my wife, she does a wonderful job with maps, but you know, she's the kind of person that holds the map, and when you turn, she turns the map, and I'm just not used to that, you know. North always goes up, right? Yeah, thank you. And so, but I mean, we arrived safely, and my dear wife has put up with a lot for me. But you know, I remember us going through St. Louis, and you know, we're just trying to find the right road to get on I-44 to make it out this way, and it's just crazy, you know, because you're driving through Indiana and Illinois, and you go like for hours just going straight. We're on I-44. How far do we, or let me say, what's that, 70? You're on 70. How far do we go? Just drive. You know, 20 miles, 40 miles, 80 miles, 100 miles. And all of a sudden, then you get to the transition, all right? Ah, there's St. Louis. And then you had to make your way around it. I mean, life is like that. Life is not always just highway. You come up to these places where you've got to, you know, take the exit and figure out what's next. And here in the church, although they knew and the Lord Jesus had warned them ahead of time that there would come persecutions. I mean, if it was, in other words, you know, the intersection is coming up, folks. And there's always going to be transitions. And Christ warned them about it, but there it was. And so what did they do? Oh, they prayed. What a great idea. And it ought not to be the last thing we do. It ought to be the first thing we do. The things I want to mention about tonight as far as their prayer, and I'll say this again. It's not always when tragedies come along. It should be. And they started off in verse number 24. They lifted up their voices. They're praying. And they mentioned this thing. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is. It is a recognition, first of all, that God is the creator of all things. I mean, so here they are. The Lord Jesus Christ has come and he has started his church and he has given them a commission. And then he sent his Holy Spirit and he empowered them. And they're going through all these, this transition or these events. And then the persecutions come. And the first thing that comes to their mind is all the way back over here at the very beginning where it says, and in the beginning, God created. They get back to the very beginning, the very start, the very basics. And so no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter where we're at as far as the transitions that we're going through, what step we're in our lives, I turned 60 this year. I used to think 60 was old. Nah, it's not even close, all right? I got a long way left, amen, I hope. But, no matter if you're 6 or 16 or 36 or 66 or 86 or 96, all it comes right back to here. In the beginning, God. Amen. It's the beginning of all things. God is there at the beginning. He is the creator of all things. Go with me, if you would, please, to Colossians chapter 1. And this creation by the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned here in Colossians chapter 1. And in particular, in reference to the church, a statement is made here also. Speaking of Jesus in Colossians 1:15, it says that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, it's talking about Christ, were all things created that were in heaven, that are in earth, and visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, for he is before all things. In other words, he has preeminence. He is before all things, and by him were all things. By him, all things consist. Now here they are in the church, and the first thing that they're praying about, and the first thing they're reminded of is that God is the creator. God is the one who started everything. God is the one who has the preeminence. God is the one who has established all authority. God is it. Period. It's not about circumstance or situations or anything like that. God is above all things. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So no matter what goes on in our lives, no matter what transitions we go through, some of them are difficult, some of them are very joyous, but God is the beginning of all things. And by him all things consist. It means he holds it together. Sometimes we think we got to hold things together. Try to get your hand around that, you know. Keep everything from unraveling and coming apart. And we have to be reminded sometimes that by Him all things consist. He's got a whole lot bigger of a job than we could ever imagine. And we fret over so much stuff. And He holds it all together. I'm sure glad I have a God that holds things together. I'd be unraveling. Please go back to our text where we're at. And the next thing they do is they start praying about a portion of Scripture. And it's back in Psalm. So we're going to go back to Psalm 2 in just a second here. But I'm just going to read that again. It said in verse number 25, "Whom by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The gods of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." And many of you have already gone over to Psalm 2, and I haven't gotten there yet, but I will eventually. And so it's interesting that they're praying and they're quoting Psalms as they're praying. Just to remind you, that's always a good idea is when you're praying is to utilize the power of the Scriptures while you're praying, because it's great to pray the Scriptures. You know, you find the promises of God there, and it's, you know, I think the Lord really appreciates us using His own words when we speak to Him, okay? He's like, oh yeah, you've been reading that, huh? Let's help you out with this one. He says in Psalm 2, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break the bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And he that sitteth," I love this in verse number 4, "he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision." And I'm just reminded there that the Lord has a great sense of humor. That, which is certainly true, as we could see it here, and you see it in many other ways in our lives and in the Scriptures. But what I'm reminded of is this, is that God is really not fazed by things. He's not surprised. Nothing catches Him by surprise. Nothing, you know, kind of takes Him off kilter a little bit. He doesn't sit back and go, oh, I didn't see that one coming. It just doesn't happen that way. We get overwhelmed sometimes. Again, transitions, and we just have to be reminded that, you know, God's got a handle on it. Not only is He the Creator, we go all the way back to the beginning. He's also the one who, by Him, all things consist. He holds it all together, but nothing surprises Him about anything, which is a wonderful thing. And I tell you, it gives you a lot of comfort when you're going through transitions in your life, and sometimes they're disappointing. And sometimes they're a little overwhelming. And then we look back and we say, you know, even in the worst of time, God just sits back and laughs because He's, you know, He's like, why do they even think that this is going to go any other way except what I planned? And it's a wonderful thing to be able to look at that. No panic, no despair, and just to think, God's got a handle on things. Transitions are always difficult, and God has always got a handle on stuff. Now, back in our text, and he's quoting the Scripture. They're quoting the Scriptures as they're praying, and God has got some things that He's written in the Scriptures, which are an encouragement to them. And this is, again, one of the things I want to mention. Of course, it's ingrained in their prayer here, in that fact that they're praying the Scriptures. But, you know, no matter what you're going through in your life, the Scriptures are some of the best comforts you'll ever have. Of course, we have our brothers and sisters in Christ, which are a great blessing. But apart from that, the Word of God is one of the greatest helps that we can have. And God, through His Word, gives us direction and comfort and encouragement, gives us things to pray about because we read the Scriptures and we begin to pray. You know, there's a lot of triumphs we go through. And I just want to say that, you know, we're talking about transitions. And again, the text here that we're reading in Acts chapter 4 is about persecution. But, you know, I just want to remind you that some of you go through some great triumphs in your life. And sometimes we kind of lose sight on God and His Word. We do. Yeah, a young person, maybe graduates from high school, and that's a great triumph, and maybe you've done real well, and now all of a sudden, you know, you're considering options in the future, like college, and sometimes we forget about the fact that, you know, now that you're, like for instance, I mentioned about my granddaughter, and she's 17, soon to turn 18, man, she's going to be an adult, and some be making some of her own decisions about her life and her choices and things like that. And, you know, I am so grateful that she has been saved. She loves the Lord. She serves in the Lord's church. I just hope that during this transition in her life that her eyes are always focused on Christ and His precious Word and looking to Him to help her through the transition. And, you know, for a young person like that, and maybe you're going through something very similar in your life, or you've had some great things going on and some great opportunities have arisen and you're making decisions about some things, you know, don't take your eyes off of Christ at that time. Keep your eyes in His Word. Keep it in your heart. Because even during joyous times, you can take the wrong exit. You can. And if you end up taking the wrong exit, you know, who knows where you'll end up. And It's a sad thing when you see a child of God that you've known and loved just going the wrong direction. When you saw the blessings in their lives. And I just want to remind all of you, follow Christ. Amen. Keep your eyes in the Scriptures. Amen. Read the Word of God. Amen. Seek godly counsel. And then follow God's direction. Because He's good at that. He is really good at getting us to where we ought to be. So they're praying the Scriptures. They're in the Word of God. It's a tragedy. Sometimes, you know, let's just face it, sometimes in tragedies we spend more time in the Scriptures than when things are going well. It ought not to be that way, but let's just face the reality of it. So often it is. That we have the opportunity of spending some time with the Lord is a precious thing. It drives our prayer life. It gets us before God, seeking His direction and His counsel. We're looking for His promises in the Word, and we're relying upon God to fulfill those things. And so all this builds into this working through this transition. And if you would, please, back in our text in chapter 4, we see, for of a truth, in verse number 27, for of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now that's an interesting statement there, because it's talking about the crucifixion, and it's talking about the fact that these folks that are mentioned here think that they're in control, and it's talking about the fact that they really weren't, that God was really in control. And this is one of those things that is a great reminder to me, and a great comfort in this sense, that because I don't always do the right thing, but I do trust in a God who always does. And so I know that He has a determined counsel, and His hand, of course, I do believe in a sovereign God. I do believe He allows us to do things that often teach us lessons. And I'm reminded of that fact so often in my own life. But I'm also reminded of the fact that He is in control, no matter what we think, which is great. Again, you know, this is a transition, and they're throwing their hands up, oh, Lord. But they're reminded of the fact that even through the crucifixion, God was in control. Even through the most darkest days of their lives, God was in control. Even when they couldn't see how the thing was going to play through, God was in control. And so when we come up to times in our life where we have transitions, we're making choices, you know, maybe things are going wonderfully and you're trying to, maybe some of you are picking college. I mean, this is, you know, graduation season and everybody's thinking about, you know, the summer, but then the summer's over, you know, and then you have to get back to real life. And you're making decisions about the future. Maybe it's colleges or maybe it's careers that you're going to go into. There's a lot of jobs available out there nowadays. Have you noticed? All right. And every restaurant needs servers right now because you still have to wait 40 minutes for tables that are empty. Anyway, it is true. There's a lot of opportunities out there, and you'll be needing to make some decisions in your life. And what we see is the apostles praying and just saying, you know, no matter what is going on, we know you're in control. We know you're in control. And if you'll just be reminded of that throughout your life, that God is always in control, never throwing your arms up and saying, where's God at? You know, why? I don't understand. Well, you don't have to understand that God's in control. God has a plan for you. I mentioned that this morning in the message, and it's still true, even in the evening message, all right? God has a plan for you, and he's in control. And it's by his hand. And I want you to take a look as we're going to finish this psalm off. Not a very long message tonight. He says in verse number 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. You know, God's got a bigger plan. And his big plan, of course, is that his word is preached and his ministry through his church continues on. And that's his plan. And I'm a big proponent of the ministry, of course, through the Lord's church. I learned that here, by the way, okay? That was not a part of that was not on the shelf of my doctrine when I moved to Missouri. I learned that here at Berean Baptist Church, that the Lord's church is how God does his work in the world today. And as these folks are praying, they're praying for the boldness to speak and to preach and to carry out the ministry that Christ had started through his church. And the church was under threat, and what they wanted to do is ask the Lord for help so they can continue to do what Christ had called them to do. So no matter what is going on in our lives, whether they be the triumphs or whether they be the troubles, whatever the transition is that is going on, our desire should always be that the ministry continues. Christ's ministry through his church continues. That God would give us what is necessary in order to carry out that task. They're praying for boldness here, in particular, because they're being told not to preach anymore. You can't preach in Jesus' name. And they say, well, sorry to say, guys. You know, we'd rather obey God than man. And we're just going to keep preaching. They're going to be threatened on many occasions to do this. And so they just flat out need boldness. They need to just get over some things, the anxieties and the difficulties and the threatenings. And they just needed help to get through that. The premise, of course, is the fact that they want to continue on the work that God had called them to do. So whether it's persecutions and struggles, or even, as I said earlier, even it's through the triumphs where all of a sudden you're getting distracted by the world. Maybe you get a new job. Maybe, you know, you're getting out of the house for the first time and getting around some folks that are a whole lot different than you've ever been used to. And all of a sudden the allurement of the world is coming in and you're being drawn away from the things of Christ and from the work of the ministry, and all of a sudden you're needing to make some decisions. I mean, as simple as waking up on a Sunday morning to go to church, you know. These things are starting to roll into your life. And then you just need to, that's a transition you're going through, and you need to go to God and say, Lord, help me to Help me to have what I need to do in order to continue in the work that you have called me to do. And they were praying for boldness, and maybe you need the same thing. Transitions are very difficult. They often bring us to a point where we're making some decisions that are going to be life-changing. And it's during those periods of time we ought to get on our face before God more than anything and say, Lord, I really need you at this point in my life. Transitions are difficult. But the wonderful thing is that transitions often bring great triumphs because they finished praying and the place was shaken where they were assembled together and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness and God answered their prayer. Whether it's an individual, whether it's a church, whether it's going through a time of difficulty or whether it's going through a time of triumph, transitions bring us to a place where we are going from one place to another, whether it be geographically or whether it simply be a transition as far as a place that you are in your life. You know, I'm reminded so often of the Psalms when David says, "Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," and I'm reminded of that Psalm so often in reference to transitions because. You know, that valley is you're going from one plane in your life where, as you know, he was a shepherd and he would be have his sheep up there grazing somewhere, and then they'd have to go from that grazing spot to that grazing spot. And in order to go from this place to that place, there's a transition that takes place, and they have to go through the valleys. And every time you go from one phase of your life to another phase in your life, you are going to travel through a valley, and that valley can be a very dangerous place. It always is. But we have the Lord with us. And we pray, and God always does, and always will do great things. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. By him all things consist. He has a handle on everything. Nothing fazes him. He's in heaven and he laughs even during the most trying times for us. He goes, "You guys don't have a clue what I'm going to do. This is going to be great. Wait till you see this one," right? This is what he does. We serve a great God. Amen. And no matter what transition you're going through in your life, we can come before him. We lay those things at his feet, and God does great things. And gives us what is necessary for us to be able to continue on and function in the work that he's given us to do. Above all things, God wants to see his son, Jesus, glorified. And he wants to do that through you. And so he is going to give you everything that is necessary for you to bring honor and glory to his son, Jesus Christ. And so no matter what transition you're in right now, God's got a plan. And it's going to be wonderful when everything is said and done because he wants to bring glory to Jesus Christ and he'll do it through you. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the wonderful blessings of knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the sustainer by him.